Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, March 11th, 2016, and on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the tendency of various governments, including the U.S. government, to interject themselves into the affairs of others when quite often the matter appears to be none of their business. My argument is because the various governments and those who run them are sold out to a globalist agenda that dictates that they all come together to oppose those who resist the agenda. They therefore feel comfortable in their interference because they are all as one, so to speak. On June 23rd of this year, a referendum vote is scheduled to determine if Great Britain will remain in the European Union or not. Officially known as the EU referendum, the vote is commonly referred to as the Brexit because it will determine whether or not Britain will exit the European Union. Those who favor Britain's exit say that membership in the EU undermines Britain's sovereignty and makes it less likely that Britain can control immigration and conduct its own trade negotiations and so forth. Those who oppose Britain's exit argue that membership advantages in the EU greatly exceed in value any perceived loss of sovereignty. Count President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry and that group opposed to the Brexit. Mr. Kerry has publicly stated that the United States has a profound interest in a strong United Kingdom staying in a strong European Union. President Obama plans to soon join in the campaigning against the Brexit as well. So, the United States has a profound interest in Britain rejecting the Brexit. I wonder what that profound interest is. Well, they tell us it is not because it would be good for Britain, but by their own admission, it's because with Britain in the EU, Britain can then serve to influence the EU in the United States' preferred direction in support of a free trade agreement across the Atlantic with the European Union. I wonder if Americans would appreciate politicians from Great Britain informing us that they would be campaigning in favor of a North American Union so that the Union can then enter into a free trade agreement with the European Union. That would, of course, require us to give up our currency in favor of a common one. We would no longer be able to control our own immigration and trade policies and therefore would no longer be sovereign. My point here is not to argue whether or not Britain should exit the EU, although I believe personally in less centralization rather than more. My point is that it is none of our business, and I imagine it is the cause of great resentment for the United States to publicly intervene in such matters. Many people who govern nations fear those who don't support the globalist agenda. That fear is not restricted to the United States, however. A recent article in Thomson Reuters entitled "Foreign Diplomats Voicing Alarm to U.S. Officials About Trump" makes this clear. It seems that the government of several countries are concerned about the stated positions of Donald Trump, and they are expressing their views to U.S. officials, I suppose, in the belief that they could somehow influence the U.S. election. Yes, officials from Europe, the Middle East, Latin America, and Asia have complained in recent private conversations about the, quote, xenophobic nature of Trump's statements, end quote, said officials who refused to be identified. The countries included at least India, South Korea, Japan, Mexico, Germany, Britain, France. German Economic Minister Sigmar Gabriel branded Mr. Trump a threat to peace and prosperity. Mexico's top diplomat said that his policies and comments were, quote, ignorant and racist. Representatives of foreign governments aren't the only ones, though. Republican neocons hate Mr. Trump as well. An open letter issued recently by 80 members of the, quote, Republican National Security Community, end quote, announced their united opposition to a Donald Trump presidency. The roster of this group, at least the identified ones, is a who's who of neocon politics. Jim Rickards, author of The Death of Money, said the agenda of the global power elite is world money, world taxation, world government, a cashless society, negative interest rates, and inflation through debt monetization. End quote. The global elites must be very worried about Donald Trump upsetting their plans. Is he in opposition to the plans of the globalists? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but they must think so, and they are very worried about it. How badly do they hate him? Many have said they would prefer Hillary Clinton and would have no choice but to support her. Elliot Cohen of the George W. Bush State Department, quote, Hillary is the lesser evil by a large margin. This position is a sign that these people, whether Republicans or Democrats, are completely subservient to a larger agenda that has been in control of the U.S. economy for a very long time. And they are willing to do about anything to make sure that it retains power. These statements are further proof of Hillary Clinton's neocon credentials. There is an old saying that a man is known by his enemies as well as his friends. This is an enemies list that anyone could be proud of. We are the voters are expected to follow in lockstep as we always have, and it's shocking to them when we don't. We are first conditioned to believe that the two parties are good, the two-party system is good, and only those two parties have any chance or any right of being elected. We are then conditioned to believe that there are profound differences between the two parties. The philosophy of the one we accept is really good. The philosophy of one we reject is really bad. So bad that we will accept anything from our own party to prevent the election of someone from the bad party. Little by little, unnoticed by most of the public, the two parties evolve to the point that principles and ideology are virtually the same, so that when someone comes along who threatens to actually voice the original principles of the party, they hate and fear him and unite for his defeat. The vast majority of those running the two parties have no moral compass whatsoever. There are no principles that drive them except the will of those in control, and thus the obtaining and maintaining of power. We have been manipulated for so long that we are closer to the politicians than we like to think sometimes, almost having had our own moral compass knocked off true north. This keeps us moving with the elite's compass toward the globalist welfare, warfare state. Governments tend to become more and more tyrannical and less free over time. The technology is now here to accelerate this process to the speed of the internet and the electronic media. Call it insurrection, rebellion, or just a resetting of the order. But from time to time, rebellion is necessary to save the system. I hope that when the next one happens, we remember what the system actually is. The trouble with an insurrection today is that the whole world is in on the globalist plans. The various countries are just vying for who gets the largest piece of the stolen goods, world money, world taxation, world government, a cashless society, all in our direction, folks, unless we change it. Finally, folks, I'm a member of the Constitution Party, and I support Constitution Party candidates wherever I can find them. I encourage you to do the same. Come home and mind your own business. That's my philosophy anyway, and that's the way I see it. Till next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.